What I'm going to share with you this evening is a yahrzeit shiur in memory of Rav Soloveitchik's father, HaGaon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal, that Rav Soloveitchik delivered in 1970. I'm utilizing actually notes that I have in front of me, and also the shiur actually has more or less been published. It appears in a two-volume work called Shiurim Lezecher Abba Mori, in the second volume that addresses the issue of Birchas HaTorah, and it's also found in a sefer written by Dr. Arnold Lustiger, Shlita, the wonderful engineer, scientist, who's actually written the sefer, five volumes of Masoras HaRav and Chumash. For those who have it, it's a collection of the return from Rav Soloveitchik in English. He attached it to Psukim, and a very, very beautiful five-volume work. He actually even quotes the sefer Dorash Dorash Yosef a fair number of times in the course of his Perush Al HaTorah. And it's also, excerpts of this are found as well in the Harav Rakefet Shlita, in the second volume, page 204 to 212, in the two-volume work called the Rav. Also, so most of it has been published essentially, and it deals with a famous Rambam. And the Rambam's in front of you, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and we'll read the Rambam, and then we will, Mitzvah Shem, discuss Rav Soloveitchik's comment on this Rambam. In Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah, which is page one of this handout, the Rambam writes the following. Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. Avo b'shemitza lilma b'yama b'alayla. Even though there's an obligation to learn Torah during the day and during the night, Ein Adam lo meid rov chachmaso ela balayla. Very striking statement. The Rambam says that the rov of one's chachma, the bulk of one's knowledge, one acquires at night. This is a very striking statement that the Rambam makes. Rov chachmaso balayla. I would imagine that people involved in the study of Torah, they primarily study Torah during the day. Of course, the mitzvah is to study both day and night. As the pasuk says, v'hagisavo Yom Valayla and Perek Aleph of Yoshua. So one is obligated to study Torah during the day as well as night, but that Rov Chachmasa Valayla, the majority of one's Torah, Dafka, is acquired at nighttime, that seems to be a striking statement. The Rambam continues, based on that assumption, that Rov Chachmasa Shel Adam is acquired at nighttime, therefore he says, I'm reading Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Lefikach, Misha, someone who wants to acquire. Misha Ratza Liskos Bekeser HaTorah. We know that Chazal speak about three ksarim. We'll see that actually in the Rambam right above, in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam cites a very famous statement of Chazal, which is well known to us. There are three different crowns. There's the crown of Torah, the crown of Kahuna, the crown of Malchus. We know that the crown of Malchus belongs to the descendants of David HaMelech, the crown of Kahuna belongs to the descendants of Aaron HaKohen. And then there's the crown of Torah that is accessible to all of Klal Yisrael. Every single Yochid Izocheh has the ability to acquire the crown of Torah. So the Rambam continues here in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Halacha Yud Gimel, Lefikach, Misha Ratza Liskos Bekeser HaTorah, someone who wants to acquire the crown of Torah, Yizoheh B'chol Elosa, he should be careful every night. He should not waste, should not lose even one night. Bashina, sleeping. Vachilo, shtia, eating and drinking. Besicha, shmuzing. Any similar kind of behavior. And also, it doesn't mean that you can't eat and you can't drink and you can't sleep. Chas v'shalom. Everyone has to eat, drink, and sleep. But it means that you should not spend excessive amount of time eating, drinking, and sleeping, according to the Rambam, that would be inappropriate at nighttime. Ella b'talmud Torah v'divrei chochma. The Rambam speaks about what should one devote one's time to in the evening, studying Torah, and things having to do with acquisition of wisdom. Amru chachamim, the Rambam continues, ein rina shel Torah ella balayla. Another very striking expression, a bitui, called Rina Shel Torah, the song of Torah. When is the song of Torah most pronounced? Says the Rambam, dafka at nighttime. Shenemar, the Rambam cites a pasuk in Eicha, where the Navi says, Kumi roni balayla l'rosh hashmuros. Arise and cry at nighttime. And then the pasuk says, Shivchi kamayim libech nochach b'nei Hashem. One should pour out one's heart to Hashem Yisbarach. So it's fascinating that the Rambam first began by speaking about an individual that rov chachmaso, the bulk of his wisdom, is acquired at night. Secondly, the Rambam says, if you want to be zocher to the keser Torah, to the crown of Torah, you have to make sure not to waste any moment, especially at nighttime. Number three, the Rambam calls the learning that one does at night, rina shel Torah, the song of Torah. These are very, very unusual statements that the Rambam is making. We have to try to search and to figure out what is the source of the Rambam. What exactly is he getting at? And then he goes further. Someone who is involved in the study of Torah at nighttime, says the Rambam, Chut shel chesed nimshach alav bayom. Hashem is going to literally shower him with some chut shel chesed, means he'll be someone who will have a lot of chen, a lot of grace. There'll be a string of chesed that will hover over him during the day. Shenemar, this is also Gemara, Yomam yitzave Hashem chazdo, that during the day, Hashem commands his loving kindness. Ubalayla shiro imi, and at nighttime, you sing with Hashem Yisbarach, tefila lekel chai. So the Rambam has really, I would say, in an extraordinary and distinct kind of way, described the nature of the learning that takes place at nighttime as being rather unusual, rather different, markedly different than that which goes on during the day. And the question is quite obvious. Why? Why should that be? Why does the Rambam say, Rov Chachmasa Balayla, number one? Number two, why does the Rambam say the Keser Torah could only be acquired at nighttime? Number three, why does the Rambam call the learning at nighttime Rina Shel Torah, the song of Torah? And the Rambam cites the Pasuk. Number four, the Rambam indicates there's some sort of grace or chen or chut shel chesed that will hover over the person during the day if he learns Torah at night. The Rambam continues. A house that Torah is not studied in at nighttime will be consumed by fire. And dafka at nighttime. And let's say a person doesn't learn Torah during the day, so nothing will impact that individual. He will not be in any way jarred. Dafka at night, where such a rather intimidating and rather frightening kind of punishment, the specter of fire, Rachmanu Litzlan, is right there for a person who is not involved in the study of Torah in his home at nighttime. And the Rambam quotes a pasuk. And then he goes further, the Rambam, and he tells you, Kidvar Hashem Baza, Zeshalosh Giach al Dibre Torah Kalika. And then the Rambam continues and extrapolates from here to, in general, the value, the importance of learning Torah, and someone who's in a position to learn and does not learn, or someone who wastes his time and squanders away his time, fritters away his time. The Rambam says he's called someone who's bozed Dvar Hashem, who rejects and categorically is not treating the Dvar Hashem in the proper kind of way. So there are many, many questions on this Rambam. And we see clearly that the Rambam held there's some unbelievable benefit that accrues to a person who studies Torah at nighttime. And yet, another question that Aras Soloveitchik Zatzal asked on the Rambam is from the Rambam directly below on page number one. In Perek Aleph Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam states in the very beginning, the first Perek of Talmud Torah presents who is exempt from the study of Torah, who is obligated to teach Torah. And the Rambam indicates there clearly the primary obligation is teaching Torah. The only reason why I learn Torah is a kind of hechsher mitzvah, because if I don't learn, how can I teach? So learning is a means to an end. The end of being teaching others Torah, that seems to be the preeminent mitzvah according to the Rambam. That's how he defines it. And then in Halacha Ches, we have a very famous statement of the Rambam. Kol ish mi Yisrael chayev b'Talmud Torah. Every single Jew is obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Bein ani, bein asher, whether a person is poor, whether a person is rich. Bein shalom b'gufo, bein bal yisurim, whether one is healthy, or God forbid, one is subjected to yisurim, one is in pain. Bein bachur, whether it's a young man, even an elderly person who's frail, who's weak, who's drained of energy. Even a poor person who is unfortunately compelled because of his indigent state, because he is literally impoverished, he has to go and ask for tzedakah, and is sustained by tzedakah. Umechazer al apsochim, he has to go from door to door in order to earn his keep. Afilu bal isha banim, even a person who's married and has children that he has to obviously be mechanech, and he has to take care of, and he has to be metapa with. Chayav likvo lozman the Talmud Torah by yom v'alayla. Fascinating how the Rambam here defines the mitzvah. The mitzvah is kviyas itim la'Torah. Rambam doesn't say the mitzvah is lilmod Torah by yom v'alayla, to learn Torah day and night, and that's certainly the mitzvah. But how does he define the mitzvah? Likvoa lozman the Talmud Torah by yom v'alayla, to establish fixed times at night and during the day to engage in the study of Torah. Shenemar v'hagisa v'yom v'alayla. So going back to the earlier Rambam, that we indicated that the Rambam has a number of very intriguing chidushim with reference to learning Torah at nighttime. Given the obvious preference for nighttime study of Torah, so why didn't the Rambam indicate that over here? Here the Rambam is making a very broad kind of pronouncement, and the Rambam is making a very significant statement that he articulates regarding Talmud Torah. If there's a preference for night over day in the study of Torah, so the Rambam should have indicated that over here in the beginning in Perek Aleph Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam does not indicate that. And especially the Rambam cites the Makor for this mitzvah of Kriyas Itim HaTorah as being Vagisa Vayom Valayla. That pasuk does not seem to indicate that there's a partiality for one time period over the other, that the learning at night is more significant, more critical than learning during the day. So there are many, many questions that on the Rambam. And again, let's just review the questions that we raised. Question number one, why is it that Rom Chachmaso takes place at nighttime? It really depends on my habits, what my circumstances are. Let's say I have a Rebbe who during the day teaches Torah and he has outstanding knowledge of Torah and he has an unbelievable ability to impart that knowledge. And at nighttime, I'm learning on my own. Will the Rambam still maintain the position that he articulated? And as I indicated, the Rambam speaks of Kesa Shol Torah, Rina Shol Torah, and the Rambam does not use platitudes. The Rambam was known for very precise, very clear, delineated kind of terminology. And that's why we very carefully study the Rambam. And the Rambam indicates as well that Rina Shol Torah is only at nighttime. What is this Rina Shol Torah that the Rambam is talking about, and why is it the Keser Torah as well only acquired at nighttime? Now take a look at the Rambam above in Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph. That's the Rambam that I mentioned a moment ago. This is well known to all of us. This Rambam is not a Chiddush. This Rambam is found a number of times. B'shlosh Ksarim Nichtu Yisrael. There are three crowns that the Jewish people have. Keser Torah, Keser Kehuna, Keser Malchus. Keser Kehuna Zocha Bo Aaron. So that's a legacy of Aaron HaKohen. We have in front of me, Baruch Hashem, some Kohanim, some wonderful Kohanim. Hopefully I'll be Zeicha to their Bichas Kohanim. Once again, shortly, Halavai, Bekorov. Shenem the Ram quotes a pasuk, V'hoi Salo Zara Achara Bris Kuna Solom. Keser Malchus Zocha Bo David. Shenem Zara Leolam Yeh. That's in the hand of David HaMelech, the Davidic dynasty. Keser Malchus Zochabo, that's David HaMelech. V'kiso Kashemesh Negi Keser Torah, look at the language of the Rambam. Hare Munach Ve'ome Nemuchan L'Kol Yisrael. That's accessible to every single Jew. Shenem HaTorah Siva Lana Moshe Marasa Kilas Yaakov. Kol Mishirotze Yavo V'Yito. Whoever wants to acquire the Keser Torah can do so. Shema Toma She'osim Aksorim Gidolim Keser Torah. You might argue the other two Ksorim, the crown of Kahuna, the crown of Malchus, they supersede, they override the Keser of Torah. Says the Rambam, incorrect. The highest Keser is the Keser Torah. That's above the Keser Kahuna, above the Keser Malchus. So these are the questions that Rav Soloveitchik raised on the Rambams that we just read. And the Rambams are obviously very, very significant. And let's just begin to examine first why the Torah scholar is above even a Kohen, even a Melech. The moment the person actually has the Keser of Kahuna or the Keser of Malchus, basically we're talking about individuals who are anointed. And as a result, there's no question that these people become spiritually elevated. That's how we see in Tanakh, with reference to the Melech Yisrael. Melech Yisrael is not simply a political appointment. In the secular world, a Melech is purely a secular political appointment. However, a Melech Yisrael, from the Hashkafas HaTorah perspective, is far beyond that. It's primarily a spiritual appointment. The Melech is a means of coming close to Hashem. There are many, many proofs of this, of course, that you're all familiar with. The obligation, for example, that a Melech has to write a Sefer Torah. Every Jew is obligated to write a Sefer Torah. Melech is obligated to write two Sefer Torah. That's the subject of a sugya in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin, that the Torah says, V'kasalos mishnei ha-Torah azol sal sefer, and that sefer is supposed to be with him, kol yimei chayav, and it leads the Melech to Yir HaShamayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu has actually two titles. Moshe is Din Melech. We know that from the Pasuk, Torah tzivu alonu Moshe, Marashi kilas Yaakov, Ahi bishurin Melech. Who's that referring to? Machlokes HaRishonim, whether it refers to Hashem Yisbarach, Vayi Bishurin Melech, Bisasi, Rosh Hashanah, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, or it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, but there's no question Moshe has a Din Melech. And yet he's not known as Moshe Malkeinu. How is he known? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because essentially, a Melech in Klal Yisrael really is not just a political kind of appointment, but it transforms the person. He often is a Rebbe. It brings him closer to Hashem. When Shmuel tells Shaul that he assumed the role of a king, so the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud, Pasuk Vav, V'tzolcha olecha ruach Hashem, v'isnabeso imam, v'ne'apachta li'ishacher. The moment the person, again, assumes the role of a Melech, he comes transformed to another human being. And become more spiritually exalted, ad kedei kach, where a Melech has in it a spark of nevuah that enters him. And a similar transformation occurs to a Kohen Gadol as well. The Rambam writes, actually, when he speaks about a Kohen Gadol who gets a message via the Urim Metumim that glows. So the Rambam writes over there in Klei HaMikdash, Perek Yud Halacha Yud Aleph, U'miyad Ruach HaKodesh Lovish Zakoin, he's seized by a Ruach HaKodesh, U'mabit Bechoshen, V'roebo B'mare HaNevuah. And those, essentially, a Kohen Gadol also has a spark of prophetic enlightenment. He has a din navi. So the elevation of the personality, that's what Keser Malchus and Keser Kahuna means. So as Soloveitchik Zatzal suggested, the same elevation is implicit in Keser Torah. Keser Torah is not just a question of acquiring Torah knowledge. A person can acquire great depth in Torah without necessarily meriting the Keser Torah. Keser Torah is similar to the Shemen HaMishra, he said. Similar to the anointing oil of a melech, of a kohen, namely, it's mekadesh negabra. It sanctifies the individual. Keser Torah is not just a question of acquiring knowledge. There are many, many people, lahavdil, melfalfi avdolos, who have enormous amounts of knowledge, scientific knowledge, other kinds of knowledge. But that doesn't necessarily mean that their personalities are going to be sanctified, elevated, purified in any kind of way. Talmud Torah, by definition, creates a refinement of one's personality. A person is no longer superficial, and there's a very fascinating comment in the Eliyahu Rabbah that HaSoloveitchik cited, and I'll read that comment to you. It says there, Batim Midrashos, that when a person enters a Beis Medrash, b'nei adam nechnasim l'tochem sheim le'im avonos, you enter the Beis Medrash, you're full of transgression, we're full of sin, we're full of averos, we're full of all types of frailties and weaknesses and shortcomings. B'sheyotzin, and when we leave, after spending enormous amounts of time in the Beis Medrash, heim tahorim, we become purified. We now have a ruach of tara. We have a spirit of, literally, of cleanliness that now hovers over us. And those Torah is able to literally transform a person. It's able to create this kind of metamorphosis, which is of a sublime nature, and I have a different hashkafa, I have a different outlook on the world, my values change, my ideals change, my entire lifestyle changes. And therefore, the Rambam concludes that even though we have three ksarim, we have three crowns, the one that is on top is the Keser Torah. Because the Keser Torah is that which is responsible for a transformative element in one's personality, a metamorphosis that takes place, and it's more encompassing and far more dynamic and stronger than the transformation of a melech or the transformation of a kohen gadol after being nimshach with the Shemana Mishra. And our Soloveitchik actually brought an interesting raya to this yisod. Every day in the brachos that we make, we recite two brachos. In the brachos hashachar that we say in the morning, first we make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shelo Asani Goy. And yet we also make a bracha in the brachos haTorah, Asher Bracha Rabbonu Mikol Amin. Hashem has chosen us from among the nations. So the question is, why the necessity for two brachos that really are very similar in nature, almost identical, I would say? One bracha, Shelo Asani Goy. We have a series of brachos. Means the Goy has no Kedushas Yisrael, has no sanctity whatsoever. So we begin with the bracha of Ashenas Nasech Vivino Lahavti Miyam Vein Laila. Means all these brachas are brachas of Havdalah. We're making lines of demarcation. We're making distinctions between day and night, between a Goy and a Yisrael, between an Eved and someone who is a Meshuchrar, who's not an Eved. So the first bracha is Shalom Asani Goy. But then a bit later, the Brechas HaTorah, we mention Hashem Bracha Banu Mikol Amim. So why is there a necessity for another bracha? And the answer is, there are two different types of chosenness. When we speak of Bechira, there are two genres, two different sugim of Bechira. One is the fact that we are the children of Avraham Avinu, and therefore we thank Hashem for not making us into Goyim. But there's an additional element of Bechira that comes about through the study of Torah. And that is mentioned in Parshas Yisro, in Perek Yutes. Sukkim Hei and Vav, there the Torah describes before Matan Torah in the preamble, in the introduction to Matan Torah, the Torah says, V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim. We are going to be a segula, a treasure from among all the nations. And a bit later it says, V'yatem tiuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. We're going to be a kingdom of kohanim and a holy nation. So that's also a bechira. Now there are really two different types of bechira. One is Avraham Avinu was chosen, and the second Bechira is a Bechira that's found as a result of Talmud Torah. And that involves a higher Kedusha, a higher sanctification. And therefore, let us now, in that light, examine an area of Halacha that's a little bit puzzling. What's the din of a Jew who renounces his religion? It's called actually a Meshuman. God forbid someone becomes an apostate, someone leaves the ranks of Klal Yisrael. And unfortunately, we've had such Jews in throughout Jewish history, and it's complicated. Even though his status as a Jew is compromised, it doesn't entirely disappear. With regard to certain halachos, he's considered to be no different than a goy. For example, regarding shchita, or regarding writing a sefer Torah, the halacha is a meshuman and an apostate is considered to be a goy. His shchita is pasul. His shchita is invalidated. His shchita is not kosher. And the sefer Torah that he writes is pasul, cannot be used. On the other hand, if he becomes engaged to a Jewish woman, so his erusin is chal, the betrothal is valid. That's considered to be a proper kind of erusin. How do we understand the hybrid nature of the halachas regarding this apostate? So our Soloveitchik, a number of times, he said the following yesod, and he actually explained it in a number of different ways and different shiurim that I heard from him. In this particular shiur, he said the following. The Gemara says, actually, Yisrael alfa b'shechata Yisrael hu. That's a famous statement. Even though a Jew sins, he retains his status as a Jew. He retains his basic sanctity, his basic kedusha. That cannot be renounced. You can't renounce your heritage. You're someone born as a Jew. You remain a Jew, even though you're a chote. You're someone who transgresses. You're someone who violated canons of Jewish law. And therefore, the Kedusha of Shalom Asani Goy applies equally to an apostate as it does to the greatest Talmid Chacham. However, the second Kedusha is one that's founded on a different bracha. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim V'Nasan Lanu Es Toraso. That Kedusha depends upon the sanctity of a person that's only attainable through Limud HaTorah. And here, the Meshumah, the apostate, has totally renounced this second Kedusha. And therefore, regarding certain halachas, so the din is he still retains his status as a Jew. Namely, if he gets married, then he's still considered to be married. He marries a Jew, a Jewish woman. So then this Kedusha, as far as that's concerned, is still extant. However, regarding the second set of halachas, there we say that his very Jewishness has been affected, has been impacted in a serious kind of way. Namely, that his shrita is no shrita, he can't write a Sefer Torah. This is how our salvation can explain the dichotomy between these two sets of halachas that are dependent upon the two brachas that we say in the morning. One bracha, shelo asani goy, that bracha is not affected because you can't completely, totally sever your ties from your heritage. But the second bracha, which of course is asher b'chavadim mikol amim, which is totally on Talmud Torah, that has been undermined, that's been reneged, that's been negated, repudiated by virtue of his behavior, this meshumah. That's what he said on one occasion. It was basically Rav Soloveitchik contended that the Keser Torah sanctifies every Jew. And by virtue of the fact, there's no limit to the Kedusha that can be afforded by the individual or to the individual through the Keser Torah. And that's the bracha of Asher B'chavadim Mikol Amim is made on Keser Torah. And that Kedusha Yisrael grows and increases with the acquisition of Torah knowledge. The greater the Torah knowledge, the greater the Bechira. On another occasion, which was not part of this year, but a different year, Rasulullah said at a different time, he expressed this in another very beautiful kind of way that I would like to share with you as well. If you ever examine the Chumash carefully, which I'm sure you do on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis, when you study Shnayim Mikavecha Targum, you'll notice there are a number of psukim in Chumash that seemingly are repetitive. There are several psukim that repeat themselves, which is amazing. We're talking about a Chumash, the Torah that was given in Hashamayim by Hashem Yisbarach. Why is there repetition? So they're one of the psukim that's well known, that's repeated. The Torah actually tells us the following. It's found in Sefer Dvarim twice in two different parashios. The Torah, strikingly enough, and this is not the only pasuk that's repeated. Of course, there's one distinction, and that we'll notice momentarily. Rashi is the one already who comments on this distinction between these two psukim. I assume that some of you perhaps may remember some psukim in Chumash. There aren't many, but there are one or two. And I just want to read now these two psukim that are repetitive. In Parshas Re'eh, in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, I'll read the psukim. This is Parshas Re'eh of Sefer Dvarim. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah says that you are the children of Hashem Yisbarach. Lo sis go to do. The Torah tells you we should not behave the way the non-Jewish world behaves. That would be inappropriate. And then it goes on to explain why is that so. Ki am kadosh ato l'Hashem Elokecha. We are considered to be an am kadosh. We are a holy nation. And as a result, the Torah goes on to say, uvecha bachar Hashem, lios lo li'am segula, mikol ha'amim asher al pnei adama. Very similar language to that which we just cited earlier, namely in Parshas Yisrael. Here also the Torah says, the reason why we should not engage in any kind of activity to make incisions in our body, to cut ourselves and the like, the way we see from Eliyahu Bar Carmel, the way Nevi'a Baal, the way they behaved. So the Torah said, that's inappropriate. Why? Because Ki Am Kadosh Ato L'Hashem Elokecha. You are a nation of Kedusha. You are a holy nation. Uvecha Bachar Hashem, so this pasuk indicates that there's a bechira. Hashem chose us as an am segula mikol ha'amim asher al pnei adama. Now take a look in Parshas Vayeschanan, and you'll notice in Parshas Vayeschanan the same pasuk seemingly is repeated. There the Torah says in Vayeschanan, the Torah mentions the following pasuk. If you want and have a chumash in front of you, I will show it to you. In Perek Zayin, it's towards the end of the parsha of Vayeschanan. Perek Zayin, psukim Vav, Pasuk Vav specifically. The previous Pasuk tells us about when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we have to go ahead and destroy all the Avodah Zarah. There's a din of Hachrin Tachrimin, not to intermarry with them, and the like. And it says, what's the reason? Ki am kadoshat al Hashem Elokecha. Same reasoning that we just saw in Parshas Re'eh, also for behavior that's unseemly, that's inappropriate. We are an am kadosh. B'chol b'chai Hashem Elokecha, li'osol li'am segula, b'chol am mashal p'nei adama. The identical pasuk that's found in Re'eh is found earlier in Ras Chanan. But if you look carefully, it is not identical. There's one letter that differs. One extra letter that's found in Parshas Re'eh that's not found in Perek Zayin of Parshas Ras Chanan. In Ras Chanan, the pasuk says, Ki am kadosh atol Hashem Elokecha, becha becha Hashem Elokecha. And in Re'eh it says, not becha, but rather uvecha, an extra vav. So our Soloveitchik was medayik from the psukim, and he said that's the intention of Rashi. If you look in Rashi, Rashi takes the pasuk in Re'eh and divides it into two. The Torah over there in Perek Yudalid, pasuk Beis. Again, I'll read the pasuk. Ki am kadoshat al Hashem Elokecha, segment number one. Then Rashi adds one word, va'od. Rashi says, and furthermore, uvecha bacha Hashem liyasol liyam segula mikolam mashal p'nei adama. What does Rashi want with that expression of va'od, furthermore? So the Rav explained, that is the vav hachibor that's found in Re'eh. That's the va'od of Rashi. And then Rashi goes on to explain what these two segments are. Says Rashi, kedushas atzmecha me'avosecha. Everyone has exactly the identical kedusha. All of us have the same sanctity that we inherit from our forebears, from our ancestors. And then Rashi says, va'od, furthermore, uvecha bachar Hashem, with the vav achibor, the extra vav. Namely, there's a second element of the Kedushas Yisrael. And what is that based on? Bechira. That's based on chosenness. The fact that Hashem chose us to be the Am Sigula, mikol am mashal p'nei adama. So exactly the same dichotomy that we spoke about a few moments ago, based on the two brachas that we say in the morning, namely, shalom asani goy, and asher b'chavonu mikol amim, and that dichotomy is responsible, there's a nafkamina in the case of the meshumad, someone who's an apostate, someone who unfortunately and tragically leaves the fold, leaves the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Regarding certain halachas, he's still considered to be a Jew, as far as Kedushin is concerned. Because regarding getting married, there, Kedushas Atzmecha Me'avosecha, his inherent Kedusha comes from Avram Avinu, comes from Yitzhak, comes from Yaakov, that he cannot reject. That's built into his very warp and woof. That's part of his very fiber, part of his very persona. However, the Bechira, the fact that every Jew has a choice, that every Jew has the ability to be creative, that every Jew has his own individuality, his own persona, his own accomplishments, his own achievements, that is something which this apostate, tragically and unfortunately, has discarded. And that's why, regarding other halachas that are not totally upon the Kedusha Satzmacham Yavosecha, the Meshumet is not considered to be a Jew, namely Shchita, namely Ksiva Sevetera. So Rav Soloveitchik, in two different occasions, explained this dichotomy using two different sources. I actually heard him in a third way as well, but I won't discuss that right now because that will keep us take us far afield. But you see, the basic Yesod, I think, is very clear. So now we're talking about the Kesset Torah, coming back to the Rambam. So the Kesset Torah essentially sanctifies the Gavra. V'yisem li segula mikol amim, mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. The bracha v'asher b'chabonu mikol amim is a birchas haTorah, made on the Kesset Torah. The kedusha of each Jew that can grow, that is spawned by the knowledge that we acquire. And now, Rav Soloveitchik began, based on this yesod that he laid down, to explain the difficulties that we posed earlier in the Rambam. Let's start with the first difficulty, Rov Chochmaso. What does it mean, Rov Chochmaso? The bulk of my Chochma. The Rambam says, I acquire the bulk of my Chochma when? It's acquired at nighttime. So we asked, why should that be so? Someone studies Torah during the day. Our Talmidim, Baruch Hashem, study Torah day and night, both during the day and at night. Why would we assume that Rav Chachmasam is Davka Balayla? What is the nature of this terminology? So he referred to another Rambam. This Rambam is found on page 2, and the Rambam is found in Perakei, Hilchas Talmud Torah, Halacha Tes. If you look at that Rambam, the Rambam speaks about the concept of a Rav Muvhok. It's very fascinating that here, generally speaking, a Rav Muvhok means my main Rebbe. My main Rebbe is someone who essentially, Chazal say, definition of a Rav Muvhok is Rov Chachmaso Hemeno. Most of the Chachma that I have in Torah comes from that Rebbe. That's very rare today to be Zochet, to have a Rav Muvhok, someone that one can say, most of my Chachma comes from that Rebbe. We learn with a lot of Rabbeim. Sometimes we go to a different Rebbe every single year, but there are Yechidei Sgula who are Zochet to one Rebbe for many, many years, and perhaps they can say about that Rebbe, Rov Chachmasam Meimenu. Most of their Chachma comes from that particular Rebbe. That's a big schluss to have such a Rebbe. So Rav Muvhok is translated the way I just defined it. That's how Chazal defined it. Rov Chachmasi Mimenu. Most of my Chachma comes from that Rebbe. Rav Soloveitchik had a different definition of Rav Muvhok. Very fascinating definition, which to my mind is Lamita Shel Torah. Is 1,000% correct. Over and above the definition, the classic definition that I just mentioned, he indicated the following. People, all of us, are impacted by different Rabbeim. And often one Rebbe can have a greater impact than another. Often one Rebbe is the one who becomes the model par excellence in my life, the one who really is my GPS, the one who is my ways, the one who navigates the shoals for me, the one that I consult, the one that I speak to. Baruch Hashem, I was zochet to one or two such Rabbeim that I had contact with, and Baruch Hashem interacted with them for probably more than 2 decades. Great Gedolei Yisrael. And I consider them to be, in my case, Rabbanim Muvhokim. They were the major factors in my life. They directed really kimat everything I did. I consulted them on an ongoing, almost I would say, if not daily basis, certainly a weekly basis. Asked them etzes, advice, and certainly was zochet to hear many, many shiurim, hundreds and hundreds of shiurim from them in many different areas of Torah. So that's a concept of Rav Muvhok. And this doesn't mean necessarily one Rebbe that you learn with, Rov Chachmaso Mimeno, but one Rebbe who literally gave you a kibun, gave you a direction in life, both in terms of your hashkafa, in terms of your outlook, in terms of your values, in terms of how you interact with other people, in terms of what your premise is, how you operate, what are your hanochos, what are your premises that you operate with. So now it's coming back to this Rambam. The Rambam in Perakei Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam goes on to say the following. Bamedvam Amurim, the Rambam is saying, if you look in the underlined section of Perak Hey Halacha Tes, the Rambam is talking about the context is someone sees a Rebbe, Chas V'Sholom, doing something which is inappropriate, and how you approach that Rebbe, and how you speak to him, and one should be careful that when one says something in the name of his Rebbe, he should mention the Rebbe properly. Well, the Gemara says, maybe Gula La'olam, and if Chas V'Sholom, the Rebbe passes away, people tear Kriya, as we did when our Rebbe was Nifter. We taught Kriya, because one of the Dolei Yisrael is Nifter. There's a Chiyuv to tear Kriya. And the Rambam says, whom are we talking about? Which Rebbe? Bamedvam Amurim Berabba Muvok. Only a Rav Muvhok has all these halachas that apply to him. Shalama mimenu rov chachmaso. Most of my chachma comes from that Rebbe. The bulk of my knowledge. Notice the Rambam here, again, uses the lashon of rov chachmaso. Avim lo lamad mimenu rov chachmaso. But if a person did not acquire the bulk of his knowledge from that Rebbe, says the Rambam, hareze talmud chaver. That's not considered to be Rav Muvhok. That Rebbe is considered to be like a student colleague of you will. In other words, it seems difficult, as I mentioned a moment ago, to define Rav Chachmaso in quantitative terms. That is to say, if I learn 100 Blat Gemara with one Rebbe, and I learn 99 Blat Gemara with a second Rebbe, and now I'm going to say that the first Rebbe is my Rebbe Muvhok, and the second Rebbe is only a Talmud Chaver, that would seem to be a very difficult kind of position. The only distinction between them is one Blat. With one of them, I learn 100 Blat. The other one, I learned 99 blot. So, as I indicated, Al Soloveitchik himself said he had a number of Rabbeim as a youngster, but but he really only had one Rebbe he considered to be his Rebbe. His father, Maran HaGoyin Ramesh Soloveitchik Zatzal. And yet, undoubtedly, Soloveitchik learned more Black Gemara on his own than he did with his father. Although once in Shir, Soloveitchik began the Shir by indicating to us that this Perek, he was not Zeicha to learn with his father. And therefore, we're going to have a lot of difficulty in learning this particular Perek in Shas. And then he proceeded to tell us what Prokim he did learn in Shas with his father. And I stopped counting after a while because it was clear it was most of Shas that he learned with his father. But here and there, there were areas that he did not cover with his father, Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Soloveitchik clearly considered his father to be his Rebbe Muvak Ein Shum Safik. He said that many times. And that's how he acquired Rav Chachmaso. I want to read to you, in the language of Rav Soloveitchik, something very beautiful. The Rav writes, and I quote, don't forget he grew up in Europe, and he writes, it was the time of the ascendancy of the Bolsheviks and the Russian Revolution. Food was not available. We suffered terrible pangs of hunger. The entire family lacked for food. It was impossible to stay at home. It was too cold. At least in the Beis Medrash, there was proper light. There was proper heat. After Maariv, we would go to the Beis Medrash where we would study. During the winter months, Maariv would be as early as 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon. My father and I, said the Rav, remained in the Beis Medrash until 1 or 2, the early hours of the morning. You did not wish to return home because the warmth and light was in the Beis Medrash. My mother once remarked, said the Rav, that after her death, she should be eulogized in the same way that the Vilna Gaon eulogized his wife. The Gaon declared at his wife's death, she had suffered much more than he because of his dedication to Limud HaTorah, to Torah study. While he only endured hunger, she suffered from both hunger and cold, since he at least had enjoyed the warmth of the Beis Medrash. And the Rav said, ending this little discussion, during those nights of hunger, I learned Rav Chachmaso. In other words, Rav Chachmaso is not just a quantitative concept. During those nights in the Beis Medrash, Rav Soloveitchik's father imparted to him the key to Lumbus, how to analyze the sugya, how to approach a text, how to ask questions, how to present a svara, how to struggle over a rishon, how to extract new levels of understanding from a word or two or three in Rabbi Natan in the Tesis. That is called Rav Chachmaso. The number of blot that I learned is immaterial to the definition of Rav Chachmaso. But what is Rav Chachmaso? The tools. Once I acquired the tools in order to approach a sugya, and someone imparts to me those tools over an extended period of time, that's considered to be Rav Chachmaso. So shortly after the passing of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisk, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik was in Vilna. He used to travel to Vilna with his father quite often. They would often visit Rav Chaim Meza, the great Gadol in Vilna. And Rav Soloveitchik, when he was in Vilna, heard Rabbi Yochum Lubavitz, who was the Mashgiach in the Bir Yeshiva, mentioned that Rav Chaim was a singular, unusual Gadol Bateira. Why? Because he had a Nefesh HaTeira. He dialogued with the soul of the Gemara. He could feel his pulse. I don't know if you're aware that when the Rav's uncle, Rav Soloveitchik's uncle, the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvel, was Nifter, the son of Rav Chaim, the Rav was the grandson of Rav Chaim, the Rav said a famous hesped. And there also he declared that his uncle had the Nefesh HaTeira. He was not just Mu'uras with the Torah, betrothed to the Torah, he was married to the Torah. And the same could be said about his father, the Brisker Rav's father, Rav Chaim Brisker. Rav Chaim would compare his approach to resolving a difficult passage in the Rambam with a traveler who has to reach his destination in the darkness of the night. So he sees in the distance a dim light pointing him in the proper direction. So even if Rav Chaim only had the initial stages when he approached a Blat Gemara to resolve the difficulty, he had a certain intuition, the intuition of Torah that he acquired over the years. He knew what approach to take. And this is something that is the heart of Rav Chachmaso. This intuition that one acquires with years and years of learning Torah from a Rebbe Muvak, that gives a person a certain perception, a certain sensitivity, a certain inclination, a certain intuition. And that's exactly what the Kesed Torah is all about. The individual is completely enveloped and becomes intimate with the Torah. He's absorbed the inner Kedusha that he has. All the elements of vulgarity are removed from his personality. He has Taras HaNefesh. Then he earns the Kesed Torah and is acquired Rav Chachmasam. And with this, we'll just end this section of the Shir, and B'lin Nedar next week we'll continue. We'll just be messiahing that we now understand why the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Talmud Torah does not refer to the preference for learning at night in Perek Aleph. Because Perek Aleph of Talmud Torah is not the subject of Hagisa V'yom V'layla. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's no distinction between day and night. One is obligated to learn Torah both by day and by night. Learning Torah involves a lot of limud, a lot of training, a lot of bigia, a lot of amola, but that can be done as effectively during the day as well as the night. Limud Torah is not the same as Rov Chachmaso and Kesed Torah. So when the Rambam says that one learns Rov Chachmaso at nighttime, he was referring to the special intuition, the insight, the ability to feel the pulse of the Torah. That can only be attained through Limud Torah that takes place at night. And that will bring a person to the madrega of acquiring the Keser HaTorah. Next week, I will continue because there's a bit more to be fleshed out on this matter. But this is the Hakdama. And so if you don't mind holding on, I guess you don't have to hold on too much. It's right in front of you on your screen in Yetz Hashem. So you'll be able to, Yetz Hashem, next week we'll pursue the matter a bit further. And we'll try to resolve all the questions that we raised at the outset with reference to the Kesed Torah that one acquires at night. Shikach to you all. Thank you very much. You should continue to, Mitzvah Hashem, grow, le'elo le'elo, higher and higher, and ultimately, b'zaycha to the Kesed Torah, and Mitzvah Hashem, that will happen. It's just a question of time and effort and energy that you expend, which you're doing, and halavai, all of us should be zaycha to become tamini chacham mubhokim, Mitzvah Hashem, and come closer to Hashem is barach. As a result, have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Shiva. Thank you, Shiva. Thank you, Shiva.
Thank you, Shiva.
Thank you, Shiva.